welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, I'm going to start before we lose anyone else tonight because it's been a mixture of incompetence and downright ghost-like activity here in the studio. We are 31 minutes short of starting the show, but it's okay because there's no friggin' news.
Yeah.
Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, the stellar panel that is the bunch this evening, starting us off top left, the man that I owe the most apologies to this evening because it was my sheer incompetence that meant that he was sat there trying to fix a problem that didn't exist. Lee, I have no words.
You forced me to restart my super old computer, but yeah,
it took
that's all
right. A while.
It's good to be back. Hi, guys.
Hello, mate. So sorry about that, but glad you're here, mate. How's things been?
Busy. You see the guitar show's been very quiet.
Yeah, no.
Between work and my writing's picked up, my freelance writing stuff's picked up. So I've been doing a few different things for a few different sites, which is good. But yeah, been busy.
Jackie's in the chat room saying, "I'm sorry, you and we probably ran too late too." No, you didn't. It has nothing to do with you, mate. This is entirely the cock-up of the moron that you see sat before you this evening. Take your pick, but mostly me. Next to him, the person who's had nothing wrong this evening, because he does nothing wrong in life, full stop. Adam Christensen, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right.
What you been
how
up
you
to,
doing?
Pal?
What have I been up to? Same old, you know, doing some podcasts, shuffling the family around.
Shuffling them around? What, do you keep them in a cupboard or something then?
No, I drive the kids around to different activities, you know.
Oh,
the parenting thing. I do the parenting thing.
Yeah, no, I'm not quite at that yet. My son's only 12, so he doesn't. Sharon does a lot of the like clubs and that kind of stuff, but they haven't got to the stage of, can you take me down to the cinema with my girlfriend? And by the way,
yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Can
we're
you
talking
pick us up after
sports,
the
sports stuff like that?
Can you pick us up afterwards?
Yeah, no, we're not there yet either. But good, life's good.
Yeah, no.
Hanging out, watching things happen.
Good man. Beneath him, Doc. No idea what happened there, mate, but a restart solved the problem. How the devil are you? Don't look so upset, mate.
The problem's still not solved. I'm actually listening to the feed, and which causes me to hear myself, which is a little psycho.
Well, you've
so
lost
I have
your audio
to
again.
Turn the volume up and down as we talk.
All right.
Yeah, it didn't. It's not working still.
Okay. Well, that can't. Well, having said that, it did work when
so
I restarted.
I don't know what's going on.
You're on one of the brand new machines as well.
No, I think what happened is I had the feed turned up when you restarted and I thought that was it, but it wasn't.
Oh, it's not, so it's definitely you then, that's cool. As long as it's not me. Couldn't cope.
Wait, I rebooted my machine, so it's not me, and I didn't touch anything when it went away.
It's not me either, so it's,
nobody did nothing.
Next to him, Steve Sandy, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, how about yourself?
Yeah, we're all right. How's Apple News today going?
We're doing better. Let's just put it that way. We've got a couple of new sources of revenue coming in. So
good.
Even though Dennis and I, the only two people who are running the site, are not making a tremendous amount of money, things are looking up. So
good.
It's a good thing.
Wish you the luck in the world, mate, definitely.
Thank you.
And finally, Patrice, looking, I got to say, your video and lighting is looking gorgeous this evening, mate.
Yeah, that's great. I got a new connection. That's probably the reason.
Ah, see? It shows. So now you can download porn and do a podcast, and it all works
exactly.
out.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing.
Spot on. That German porn is something else. Can't understand a word they're saying, though. The week in Apple, what's going on? What's happening? What's good? What's bad? The one thing that really has kind of hit this week is the demo of Viv, which we talked about. Viv was coming last week, but actually there's been a demo and the guy stood up and showed what the developers could do with it and showed how it rewrote the code on the fly in 10 milliseconds. And then someone put out a meme that was Joaquin Phoenix reeling back in the Mel Gibson movie when he's looking shocked because he's seen the alien. Siri after it has seen Viv, but I didn't think it was that dramatic myself, I have to say. Anyone else really? I mean, I was there was some stuff that was quite impressive, but the convoluted search that he did, I'm like, well, and he did say, okay, no one's going to ever do this, but tell me what the Golden Gate Bridge weather's like the day after tomorrow. It's closer to convergent speech, but it seemed a bit contrived is what I felt. But.
The thing that was most exciting to me about that demo was not what was being demoed. It was the underlying architecture and how it was opened to different services to come in. You know, like when he went into the cloud view.
You know, like when he went into.
Why am I hearing myself?
All right, who's that? Is that Doc? That was Doc. Go on.
He went into the whole cloud view of the different sort of services that they tap into, and then how the different companies that they're partnering with can jump in there and basically respond to or set up the responses or reactions to the different verbs that are being asked about within the system. That's what's most exciting about it, is it looks relatively easy to start to expand the functionality and capabilities on the services side of it.
Does anyone get the impression that this guy's done nothing more than try and create something for which Apple can pay money?
No.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because what I have heard is that this is all technology that was originally part of Siri and in the Siri roadmap, and it was stuff that Apple turned down and did not want, which may also give an indication as to why these guys left and why we've seen, I think even this week, we saw another Siri guy leave. So I think they had these plans for the technology all along, and then Apple bought Siri and said, no, we don't want those pieces. And then, so they went off and did this.
Yeah, no.
This one's all text. It's all text-based, isn't it? So it's more like a bot rather than a, intelligent assistant. Is that right?
Well, at no. this point it is. From what I understand, they said this was mainly a technology demonstration, but eventually they wanted to get some sort of... more reasonable user interface or some way of actually speaking to it and having an audio response. So.
You're talking about the response back. Yeah, right now it's just text.
If you're wondering why Steve is talking to us within an echoed room, it's because he's been kidnapped by jihadists and...
And his cat.
And
they sent him my ransom. Send $1,000 a minute to.
And he's been sent back to the 1970s audio wise. And the hissing in the background, I'm guessing, is Doc.
Just all kinds of technology today.
I don't know, but there's like, there we go. It's gone.
Someone's muted.
Was that you, Doc?
He looks really upset.
I need to put an oops in front of his mouth there, just while he's gone. There he's gone.
Yeah. Gave up.
We love you, Doc. Oh. We really freaking love you, dude.
The Viv thing, I mean, it's amazing. And I think what they were showing off, I mean, they really want to get to ubiquity. They want this to be open to anybody who wants to build it out in their platform and whatever that platform might be. And so that was another thing that I think they couldn't do under Apple. And another reason why I think they won't be all that interested in actually selling this technology to Apple. They're more likely to be interested in maybe selling it to somebody who can, you know, deliver it to multiple devices. So it might not even be a Google. I don't know who that would be other than them doing it themselves and just getting funding. So I think the play probably for them is to get funding for this, to be able to build it out themselves and then try to sell it to as many people as possible. Because as the guy pointed out in the demo, this isn't really going to be all that great unless it's something that we can use anywhere and everywhere, regardless of, you know, what device we have or what thing we have in our living room or what thing we have, you know, in our car. You know, you're just able to call this up and access all of these different services. They're really looking at it as the next interface. And this is the kind of thing, if something like VR or augmented reality or some other thing beyond using a computer keyboard or a mouse or, you know, the keyboard on your iOS device is going to happen, you're going to need this kind of interaction. You know, this is getting finally to the Star Trek way of, hey, this knows about me. I can just tell it, hey, get me a flight to San Francisco next week on Thursday. And it knows, okay, well, I like to fly Virgin Airlines as my favorite airline to San Francisco. It knows my schedule and what times work best for me on Thursdays. It knows that I like an aisle seat versus a window seat. It knows about like what I would like to pay for that ticket, and then it just orders it for me and says, okay, we've booked your flight. Here's the details. And that's really what they're trying to get to.
Yeah, and isn't that the biggest issue right now, that we have all those devices? I mean, not only the all the assistants like Alexa, like Cortana, like Siri, like the whatever the Google thing was called, can't remember, but they are not connected to each other. So they are not, I mean, Alexa can't control, I don't know, my HomeKit stuff, and Siri can control Google Music, probably, something like that. So it's, we have a lot of things, but nothing is really connected to a point where it's seamless and you can just use it everywhere and also get your contacts, your information, your favorites, all of that everywhere.
So does, I mean, I didn't see the demo, but is it effectively going to be giving like API access or hooks into other applications, or is it all pretty much self-contained?
Yeah, and it's not even API. They have a system that actually writes the code itself within their system. So you just define, as an endpoint developer, you define certain, you know, basically what your system can do or will do, and then you write sort of these scripts. And they even showed in real time how it does the text parsing. It looks for certain words. It determines what services it needs to go out and interact with. And it can be multiple services in any given command. And then it will go out to that service and look for what it's supposed to do within that service and then tie it all together. I mean, it literally constructs the program that it's going to use to take its action on the fly.
I didn't think it did that all the time.
No, that's how it works. Every thing that you say to it gets parsed, and then it builds out this tree of what it needs to do on the fly every single time.
Right. Wow, I didn't think that was the case. So
sounds like a lot of.
Do you believe it was actually real time? I could be being skeptical. I've not seen the demo, but
they said it was a live demo.
It was definitely okay. That's good.
I don't disbelieve that, but having said that, it was clearly a set of predicted questions.
Well, yeah, they knew what was going to work. I mean, they built out the system, but I mean, it was operating from their standpoint. It wasn't just, you know, a recorded thing that they played back. It was reacting in real time, and they had partnered with specific services, right? So Uber was one of the examples that they used. Weather Underground, was that what they were using for the weather data? So they have some partners in place, it looks like, already, who have built out their end of the system.
Mm. Yeah. Did they mention how much processing power that required?
Yeah, no.
That demo?
That was missing.
Well, it all happens in the cloud. I mean, so this is like Siri, this is like Nuance. So it's happening on distributed servers in the cloud. Yeah. It's not happening, you know, it's not doing that parsing and stuff on the device. Mm. So really, it doesn't matter to the end user, right?
Now, the funny thing about this is it kind of reminds me with some of the services, the fact, for instance, Adam, you were talking about having it go out and book a airline ticket for you and knows what airline and all the rest of that. It kind of reminds me of the mid-90s when General Magic was working on some different, what they called, I think it was intelligent agents. Basically, you'd send this intelligent agent off to do something for you. Then it would return with the result there. So it's just taken 21 years to get to that point that somebody's actually getting close to it.
And I'll tell you the reason. I mean, my theory as to why Apple didn't want to develop this technology is if you look at what it's doing and all the kinds of data that it has to share in order to be able to do what it does. You know, Apple's stance on privacy, there's no way Apple could build a system like this because all of that data has to be shared with those partners as it goes out there and those preferences. And, you know, Apple was never going to allow that.
Doc's back. Having done a test call with Skype.
Can you hear me?
The dude is
back. Doc.
We have you, Doc, yes. Everyone else appears to have frozen in Wirecast.
Yay.
So is Apple going to buy Viv? Is Viv going to die a death if Apple don't buy it? Is Apple going to allow it to even be licensed as an application because of the privacy issues? I mean,
I, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would be the kind of thing where if they make an app for iOS, it, you know, you'd just be warned and opt in. I think Apple allows for that.
What about Facebook? Facebook haven't really got a play, have they, in this area apart from bots?
I could see Facebook.
They've got the cash.
I couldn't see Apple buying them.
Yeah.
No, Apple won't buy it because of the reasons already
Google
stated.
Have got Google Now, obviously, which is, you know, the best, you know, probably, and that I've used. Facebook's the only big player left, really, isn't it?
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is none of those things are what this thing is. I mean, everything that everybody's developed so far is just the Siri. It's canned, programmed responses to specific kinds of queries. It's not the dynamic system that Viv is, where you know, as new service providers adopt the platform and build out their endpoints, the system gets smarter and can actually start to respond to new queries in new ways.
Yeah. So, and I mean, maybe that would be one of the reasons why Apple might be interested, because my feeling is they were trying to expand it to more people, to more developers. And recently, I mean, we haven't seen anything in that area.
But I mean, this is the point. Has Siri stagnated at this point? And actually, Viv could be a shot in the arm to it, because Siri is pretty horrific in comparison to other facilities that are out there.
And I'm saying Siri is limited by design. I think it's Apple's intention to not open it up in the ways that Viv does. And so even if Apple tried to buy the Viv technology, one, I don't see them wanting it for those reasons, but let's just assume they do, and they want the engineers and they want the people's talent. I'm not sure that Viv would sell to Apple, because of how in that conference call, in that event, they sort of mapped out and answered some questions about what they'd want the platform to be. They didn't rule out selling it to someone, but they also said, we're very much about making sure this has ubiquity, because we think that's what it needs to be a success. And there's no way, if they sold it to Apple, they would know immediately it'd be completely closed. It would be only available to iOS devices.
And then, I mean, there's the other question, whether it is something Apple couldn't do on their own if they wanted to, or maybe even have done. Who knows?
I think they have the engineering talent. I've for a long time wanted to see Apple do something like this, just even internally. I mean, they could do a smaller version of this where the data is kept internal. I mean, I have my stuff in iCloud. They know about my context. Really simple things like, you know, why can't I ask Siri to give me directions to my next meeting? Yeah. I mean, it knows what's in my calendar. It knows that I put a destination in that event. You know, none of that has to leave Apple's servers or Apple's ecosystem or be shared with anyone. And they don't even have that step done yet.
It could even be local on the device, because that information is also available on the device.
Chat room's chiming in. Don't worry, Ewan can edit. I tend to use Siri on the watch a lot, says Lee, although you can say that on the podcast as well if he really wants. He sat right there.
I didn't want to interrupt people in their flow, just
apparently Doc has no shorts and no curlies, so he's getting shaven. I agree. Should have a built-in connection maybe on Apple Watch 2, and Apple needs to open up for Siri. Open Siri for devs as soon as possible. And then Lee, you've put, would there be a Siri API at WWDC,
which I thought was
an awesome question. You shouldn't, try not to type in the chat room, try saying it on the podcast.
I wanted to put it in this, I didn't forget really more than anything. I was listening to a podcast this week where someone was, I can't remember which podcast it was, but they were talking about the fact that there is an API internally that they've been testing, but it's not been unveiled yet, obviously, which with WWDC, less than 4 weeks away now?
To be honest, I don't give anything for that, because of course there's an API. We have third parties using or hooking into Siri, so of course there's some kind of API somewhere. I mean,
I think it's Siri polling the device rather than an API that the third party's tapped into. It's Siri looking outwards rather than the app looking inwards.
Siri
goes out to do a Google search. I mean, it does certain things.
But it can do a device search as well.
What?
It can do a device search. So, for example, if you said, hello, excuse me, Siri, just before I set everyone else off, excuse me, Siri, start Netflix, that's an internal search, not an external search.
Yeah, you can even search within apps and tell them, I don't know, to find... to find music,
you,
for example.
You can't do, like, one thing you can't do is you can't create a to-do in another app via Siri. They have to hook into, like, say, OmniFocus. You can create a reminder, but it needs to hook into the Reminders app and pull the data from Reminders into OmniFocus.
Yeah. So there has to be an API for Apple applications to poll, but there's no API for external applications for devs.
Correct. It hasn't been opened up to apps.
How about OpenTable, for example?
Well, those are all, so we're talking about two different things, though. You're talking about connections to web apps, which is really just the internal system, probably using OpenTable's APIs, web APIs. Yeah. Same thing with Google searches and things like that. What they haven't done is done that internally. And likely, if they implement a system, that's more likely how it's going to work, is they're going to tell third-party app developers, look, you're going to open up endpoints within your app, and then we're going to query into those. It's not going to go the other way around. So it's going to go from OS to app instead of app to, you know.
Yeah, because that is the way the requests or even the user works. Siri is asked to do something, and it goes out and does it for you. So it has to be that way.
Right.
I mean, it could feed back information, like with the search. As I said, there is this possibility, I think, to hook into a search, but that is just the app providing entries, nothing else.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we're way overdue for a Siri API for app developers. I think it could happen. Again, it's all for Apple about being able to do that in a way where they maintain the security and privacy of the user's data, and that data is not necessarily shared with the app developers.
And my feeling is it's also a thing about performance, because, I mean, everything or whatever you do that is dynamic, that costs some time, because it gets more complex to parse the speech and figure out what you said, and then go out to the right app, find the right app, go out to it, do all that. So it's more complicated, and it adds lag and delay. And as we know, especially for voice commands, that is annoying if it takes too long to do something.
Yeah, that's been one of the great things about Siri since it first came out, whenever that was, 4 or 5 years ago. You know, initially you had that lag. Every time you did something, you'd ask a question, sit there and wait a little bit, and the answer would finally come back. At least on the iPhone, you have tremendous response speeds right now. I mean, it's just incredible. Apple Watch, not so much. You do get a little bit of a lag there while it's processing, but
significantly.
You know, I think people would not be happy with expanded service or expanded intelligence if they saw that response time go down.
Or the accuracy.
Accuracy's got better. It's shocking to find out that it's been that shit for that long, based on Steve's statement, though.
It's not amazing.
Has anyone used an Amazon Echo? I mean, we can't get them in the UK, so I've not tried one, but everything I hear is that the Amazon are absolutely killing it when it comes to this intelligence stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have one, and mainly because I don't trust Amazon with my data.
That's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't worry particularly, but I do think, you know, unless Apple really hits something at WWDC with the Intel, you know, with Siri, that they are falling behind.
But again, I think it's somewhat by design, and I think what we'll hear Apple pointing to again with these other services, and maybe people just don't care, and I think that is. There's a lot of people that just don't care about the security and privacy of their data, but I think they also don't fully understand what's happening behind the scenes, and the kinds of information that is being shared, and the amount of, you know, them being the product. They think they're getting this great product, but at the same time, you know, I think it's a 40-60 or maybe even a 20-80%. You know, the people that they're giving up that data to are getting a lot more out of it.
Yeah, what is quite scary is if you, I've got an Android phone for work, and I do use Google Now a little bit, and when you initiate it, it records those audio clips. I mean, you can go into the site, and you guys probably know this, but you can go into one of the Google's search sites that, you know, where you log in with your account, and you can hear all those searches that you've done, even the ones where you've triggered it accidentally. don't know if you've ever done that, if anyone uses has used Android and tried it, but that's quite scary when you go in and hear all that. But I trust Google, to be honest. I don't. They're one of the companies that I do trust, but it is quite scary.
They do say they don't share those audio recordings, right?
Or
do
yeah. But it is when you go in and actually listen to them all, and you think, yeah, it just makes you think a little bit, you know. But
they say that they don't share them unless they have to.
Well, given a search warrant or an order, they're going to give those up.
Mac Vader says, "I don't trust Amazon. Maybe they send all your conversations to the CIA anyway." And he did.
They got them anyway.
And he did put a winky on, and Doc's come back violently. Mac Vader, that's a common perception, but really, who's going to manage and process all that data? Basically, impossible to do it, so it's not happening. Siri is flawless for me these days, says Doc. Mac Cass, read my comments to Mac Vader and respond, please.
I don't think I think you're right. There's a winky. I don't think he was being serious, but
serious.
At the same time, as I was mentioning earlier, I mean, once those recordings exist, they can be subpoenaed. They can be gone after. You know, so you've got a question. You want that data being stored or not?
It's even
easier.
You know,
most people, it's not going to be a big deal for probably, but it's a little bit of a scary thought because you think about, okay, what was I searching for? And not only that, more what I worry about is what happens if Amazon someday wants to parse those internally to start selling you stuff, right?
That's probably
likely something they might do.
I don't think so, because they already know what you asked for.
Doc Rock is even easier to wind up in the chat room than he is when he's here for real life.
Yeah,
he's already told me to sod off.
But you know what I'm saying? They could tell a lot about your life, you know, when you're asking queries, searching for a car, or looking for a new piece of electronics gear, or suddenly they know, you know, you don't have a family, but you're starting to ask a lot about baby products, you know, build algorithms and things to analyze those recordings and convert it text to speech and process it. And that's what they're after. I mean, they're told that's their business. And I don't blame them for doing it, but, you know, it is something I think people don't think about when they're like, oh, look at this Amazon Echo. It's just so cool. I can do all this cool stuff with it. Yes, you can. But at the same time, you're giving Amazon a very intimate, extensive look at your life. And I do it already when I buy products on Amazon. I mean, they're already doing it with the stuff I buy.
So Deepan in the chat says, Amazon is already able to recommend stuff I've already bought from them. Yes, they do that for me too.
I had lunch last weekend with a guy I went to university with and did the law degree with, and he's now currently practicing as an IT lawyer in the city. So his job every day in, day out, is to look at IT protectionist agreements, terms of service, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was commenting about the conversation we had about encryption and bigging up me and Mueller and saying that American bloke you had on wasn't even talking about his own legal system, let alone ours. I don't know who he was referring to. He just said that American bloke, so there's, you know, some white choice there. But one of the things he said was about the Microsoft roll over and give up your data stuff. He said that's in every single term of service. No matter what you've got, no matter who you send it to, it says if they come a call in, we're going to give it them. So don't tell us otherwise. So, you know, I think, you know, what you're holding on to as oh, this is mine, I don't want them to know about it. You've bought something off them. What you've bought off them will tell them 10 times more about you as a profile for an FBI profiler, I think, than you'll find that anything that the Echo is going to give them.
Right. And I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I mean, Doc points out in the chat, you know, so what if they advertise to me, the recommendation engine on Amazon so far has been awesome for him. And it's been awesome for me, too. I mean, it gets better and better. But I don't have any, you know, misunderstanding that that's because they're looking at and analyzing all my data. And I have to think about that and make a choice. You know, is this exchange with them, my personal information for what they provide for me, is it worth it? And if I decide yes, then that's great, you know? But the difference with Apple is Apple has made the conscious choice that they don't think that is best for their customers, so they don't participate in that system. And it does, getting back to the original conversation, you know, Siri and Viv and stuff like that, it does limit what Apple can do with these technologies. And it will. And yeah. it may ultimately it hurt them does. Because, as near as I can tell, consumers are super excited about things like Viv and Amazon Echo, and they don't seem to mind giving up a certain amount of privacy to get, and I would even argue a lot of privacy, I think. You give up a lot of privacy to get those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm not passing judgment on that. I'm just saying people need to understand what they're giving up, and they need to make an informed choice that, yes, that's okay with me. I like that. That's fine.
Doc is agreeing with me, which is kind of worrying. Yes, hence the reason the FBI use credit card receipts now. That's a lot of info. Yep. I'm sure that Tesco know more about me than Amazon. And you buy baked beans every week, Lee.
Yeah,
I buy a four-year-old.
Baked Amazon. Beans every week. Don't want you buy in bulk. get a month delivered on a Sunday.
Well, yeah, they go pretty quickly in our eyes.
Mac Vader says we don't even have Amazon here. So we have to buy from Amazon Germany or UK to get
it's
it
like
delivered.
The Dark Ages.
It is. In the Netherlands, it's the Dark Ages. Apple's research and development budget has gone exponentially up, it would seem. They launched the iPad with virtually no research and development budget. And the same pretty much with the iPhone. The iPad launch wasn't too far off, but they spent billions, according to this, for the Apple Watch. And they're saying that this is strengthening the idea that there's definitely an electric car coming, which I think is complete bollocks. If that's how much it costs you over 5 years to develop a watch, I'm sorry, but you're not going to push a car out.
What people don't understand is that big car, basically most companies spend a certain percentage of their money for R&D, and it doesn't matter whether they have a big product or not. In the works, it's I mean percentage of your revenue, because you want to invest in your company in the market and figure out what to do next once what you are selling or doing right now dries off, simple as that. And it's, as I said, it's usually a percentage.
Yeah,
I don't know that I believe this, but being devil's advocate and looking at the way that graph looks. And the products that were released under the certain amounts, you know, it does, you look at it and go, okay, you know, it looks like they're trying to R&D spend their way into the next big idea. You know, what was it before? Did they have the idea and they didn't have to have the spending because they already had those ideas?
In that 5 year period, you've got form factor changes to virtually every computer. From 2011 to 2015, every computer that they sell had a form factor change, with a technology change, with a battery change. You've got the Mac Pro in there as well at the end of 2014. And it's, you know, that's an entire product lineup change up to that 2015 peak.
As far as I know, also things like building new machines, developing robots for production, all of that is research.
It comes under the R&D budget. Yeah.
Sure. And
couldn't do in the past.
Which you're never going to get a car out of the measly budget that they're offering there of $12 billion.
Yeah. And I think you'd also have to map that chart against, sales and also just expansion of product lines and all the other things there, right?
Yeah. And you will
because
see
there's R&D that are going into Apple stores, all the redesign they've been doing lately. There's a lot of spending that's happening in services that they didn't have before. So, you know, it is spread out, but they're also producing more things, right? There's more stuff to spend R&D money on.
Steve, based on the
$12 billion just to fix Apple Music.
Maybe. Still not happened. Steve, is that you that's typed Apple Car by Tesla?
Yes.
So do you want to cover the Apple should buy Tesla?
Yeah,
no, me either, because it's bollocks.
I think it'd be a horrible idea.
It's not going to happen. There's a lot of positives in terms of tooling and that kind of stuff, which they'd save on, but they don't want to buy Tesla.
Not even that.
I drove a Tesla this week, and I've got a video that I'm going to stick up on YouTube that you can watch. I can't get it small enough at the moment stick up on our feed. But there's me driving a Tesla. Thanks to Paul who brought it in as well. Absolutely wonderful of him. He drove up specially because his meeting in Birmingham was cancelled. So he drove up just to take me out for lunch in his Tesla and let me have a drive.
Nice.
I drove his Tesla and he said, there's an awful lot of stuff that you talk complete bollocks on the show. so I've got an email from him that I'm going to read out during the big show that will just clarify the bollocks that we talked. It was awesome. I couldn't get over it. And it's amazing how the kind of like the Pavlov's dog of like when you get into a car and you're ready to go, you expect to vroom and it doesn't have a vroom when you pull away. And that kind of a bit disconcerting. Mm-hmm. To start with, definitely. I loved it. Really loved it.
They're the only brand, you know, Tesla for me are the only other brand that I kind of cover, you know, like I do Apple stuff. It's just something about it, you know. Mm-hmm. I personally haven't put down, I don't know if any of you guys have put any money down on the Model 3, but
nope.
I was close, but I've got, because I get cars through work, so I'm pretty limited to what I can get. But even if you put money down now, I don't think I'd get one until about 2020 or something.
Have you got a Tesla, Adam?
I have a Tesla keychain, and that's the closest I'm ever getting to one.
Yeah. No, the interesting thing that Paul said was he's never had buyer's regret with it, and he gets in it now, and when he drives it, every time he drives it, he feels excited about driving it, which he's never felt with any other car he's ever used for work.
Is it really quick off the line? It's supposed to be rapid.
It's unbelievably fast, and he hasn't got the sports pack engine in it. He's got the basic engine with a bit of a few tweaks.
It's what you get with an electric motor.
It's horrific, and it's linear acceleration as well, so there's no revving to deal with, no gear changes to deal with. It's flat off, and I had a quick go with it, and I went around to a quiet private street, and I put the pedal down, and man alive. It's like a rocket taking off. It's just unbelievable.
Doc said he ordered an i3.
Nice. I want one too.
Those things are ugly.
No, the one thing the trouble that you've got is if you crash it, it's friggin' expensive, and the insurance hasn't caught up with that fact yet. A front wing is £3,000 to buy in the front wing, let alone fit it and do all of that kind of stuff. And also the problem you've got is if you want a wing, you may end up waiting 6 months for a wing to be delivered before it's... then goes onto a list to be fitted. And he said a lot of the warranty changes, he's had several warranty changes that have taken place, and they've all been a long, long wait to get them done because there is a horrific quality stuff. So.
Doug says, I'm ugly and he loves me too. Thanks, Doug.
Very nice.
Okay.
I want to hear you defend the BMW i3.
Everyone should love an ugly person.
Me?
Simple. In their life?
Simple. It's the better car from almost every angle.
Apple suppliers are saying... Sorry, Patrice, but that was boring.
Go ahead. Apparently, we're moving on.
Apple suppliers were... No, go on, sorry, Patrice, go on.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, no, it's all right. You're okay. I'm going to move on. Apple suppliers are saying that there will be weak demand for the iPhone 7 because there is a significant lack of innovation. And also, if you're going to get it, and I think this is a very true rumor, I don't think this is wrong at all, you're going to get the 7 Plus, you'll get the dual camera. If you only buy the 7, you are not getting the dual camera.
I think they'll drop the number. I think it'll be Pro. I think iPhone Pro will be the one with the smart connector. Mm-hmm. I don't personally think a smart connector is coming this year, but I could see them doing that where they just go iPhone SE, iPhone and iPhone Pro, and the Pro gets the better camera and the smart connector. Although the only thing I can see the smart connector being used for would be wireless charging. Can you imagine sticking that on a keyboard?
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Nope. Although someone in the Slack room, I think even today, asked about connecting a keyboard to an iPhone.
But I think the smart connector is one of those things that no one's really latched on to doing anything quite innovative with it as yet.
No, they haven't harnessed it.
There's an awful lot goes on there. It's not just power that comes out. There's data transmission and that kind of stuff. So once you could see, I think this maybe is a health kit thing, you could see a blood pressure monitor going on there.
Right.
That kind of stuff could be the real grasp for that. The smart connector isn't called smart just because it only does power, because then it would be the dumb connector.
It would be an accessories connector, but I don't think it's happening in this version. And I think we've already heard that Apple already decided not to release it on this version. I mean, that's a pretty strong. This was a strong rumor for a while, and then I think last week or this week somebody came out with a story saying no, it's been axed, at least for this version.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that this picture here is the 7. That's what the basic standard 7 is going to look like. Rounded edges, and it's going to look extremely similar to the 6. With a raised camera front that's going to cause your thing to wobble when you put it down on the table.
It's minimized, though. It's more just kind of like a flange now than a big...
I think it's about as bad as it currently is.
Well, it's smoothed in, right? It's not just... It doesn't look like an afterthought design where it's just like popped in like a rivet.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And that supposedly is the 7 Plus casing, which I got to say now, I've seen that several times, and I do believe that that's accurate.
Yeah.
Can we talk
about the numbers thing? Because that irks me a little bit, the headlines that flew around about, suppliers are getting fewer orders from Apple, therefore the conclusion is the iPhone 7 is not going to sell well.
No. It's too early for that, simply as...
I believe that they're probably getting fewer orders. I think this is a little bit of Apple hedging their bets, and there's no doubt, iPhone sales are in a slowing period and possible decline. The reason why I don't 100% believe that you can draw the direct line from, okay, lower orders means that Apple is expecting to sell less, which means the iPhone 7 isn't compelling or isn't going to have great features in it that make people want to buy it. Are one, Tim Cook said in an interview recently that I think it was the one with Jim Cramer. He said there is stuff coming in the next iPhone that it's going to make people want to buy it. He of course wouldn't expand on that, but he claims that, and I tend to believe Tim. I don't think he just says stuff flippantly. I don't think he'd be lying if he didn't believe something was in there. And it could be this dual lens camera system. Depending upon what they do with the software and the technology, that could be a very compelling feature for people. The other thing I believe about the 7 is I think part of the slowing is due to people moving to a slower upgrade cycle for smartphones in general, including the iPhone. And the iPhone 6 2 years ago was Apple's best-selling model. So I think all those people with 6s are going to be ready for an upgrade in this cycle. And I think that's going to help with Apple's numbers. Is it going to bring it to the same level as the 6? I doubt it. Probably I'd be surprised if this sells anywhere close to where the six sold. But I think we'll see it go back up from the 6S.
Yeah, I think there's another issue with looking at the supply chain and drawing conclusions, and that is Apple has for years now distributed work to different suppliers. What was it, Pegatron and the other company, can't remember. So who's to say that Apple isn't further doing that and has added one or two companies we don't know of yet, and have lowered the orders for the existing ones because they can't deliver in time, and added another company that can. So it's really hard to say whether those numbers are actually true or not. Yeah. And
one other thing, perhaps, and I know this is totally out there, but maybe some of that R&D spending and perhaps some of the plant spending that we're also seeing is bringing some of the manufacturing in-house.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, here's the only problem with that. If you read the story, and I'm trying to this came from... Was it Mac Takahara or I can't remember which. It was a Japanese site. I think that was the source for it. It might have been Weibo. Never remember how to pronounce that. One of the suppliers they were citing was TSMC, saying that TSMC is only getting about 70% of the volume for processor orders. And on this last round, they were the only supplier for... processors. Now that would only leave Samsung as the only other vendor. So, there's not other vendors that would be doing processors. Because that was my first thought too, is, like Tim has always said, don't rely on the supply chain because we spread out orders against amongst a number of suppliers, and you never know, what those mean. So they might be, drawing down supply from one supplier as they, ramp up with another one. But with a processor, that's pretty hard to not see. And I don't think that Apple's planning on going back to Samsung in this round, as far as I know from the rumors I've been hearing. But I mean, it could be that Samsung's getting that 20 or 30% difference, but it's probably not likely.
I don't know how you guys feel, but for me, kind of ergonomics and kind of durability are kind of more important now than specs to me. And I'm on the 6S currently, and I'm actually looking at the 7 rumors and thinking, actually, I might just get an SE because the camera's good enough. I've got a DSLR when I want to take, you know, good pics when I'm out. And I was using an SE last weekend, and I forgot how nice that smaller form factor was. But I don't know what you guys feel about, you know, like the ergonomics of it and the, you know, waterproof. I'm not saying they go all Samsung, right. They put rubber,
I think
seals over everything, but...
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, for me, features don't matter as much anymore. They still matter. I'm still excited about certain things, like, I mean, the bigger screen with the 6, the better camera with the 6S, and the, what was it, live video, stuff like that, live photos. But overall, it's more about the form factor, the ergonomics, whether I like this device or not. It's not about ticking boxes anymore.
Oh, it's got to do something more, though. You can't just say it's got to look nice.
I mean, if it just looked nice and did nothing, wouldn't work either.
So Doc had a question for all of us in the chat room, and it was, how many of you would still chase a model every year if you weren't a tech pundit? And he says that he thinks he still would.
My answer
would be I would probably continue to upgrade every year, but that's only because I'm a Mac fanboy and I'm a total nerd and I love the technology stuff and I just want the newest, latest, and greatest thing. But I think a majority of people who aren't in that position wouldn't.
I am in that position and I don't.
I would too, simply because I get bored with stuff and I want something new and I would change. And so buying a new device is definitely, I mean, it's filling that need somehow.
And I'll caveat that too with the fact that the resale value on a one-year-old iPhone tends to be pretty good. So it's not a lot of outlay of cash, if any, to sort of upgrade every year for me as a tech nerd.
Yeah. But it normally costs me about £150 or so to change every year, which is... I always think, well, £150 for using the phone for a year is actually not too bad. But this is the first year I'm thinking about probably not getting the 7. But I always say that before going into these events. You watch a keynote and then you're like, oh no, I'm not going to bother with this. And then you're drooling at the end of it and then you're like, order, I'll just buy it. And all it is like, oh, the camera might be a bit better. And I'll still be like, yeah, that's fine, done.
Well, I mean, I'm the fool that's easily parted with his money when it comes to tech, most definitely. But I've got a bit more cynical over the last few years about, well, you know, I haven't bought the iPad Air. I bought the 1, and I loved the change for the 1, but nothing about the 2 made me think I wanted to get it, and nothing about, you know, the small Pro now thinks I'm going to get it. I've got the large Pro, and I'm quite happy with that. I'm going to take that with me tomorrow when I go to London, and it's going to be just fine. With the watch, I'm going to think, well, you're going to have to do an awful lot more than the current watch does to get more money out of me, and I don't think I'm going to change the watch when that comes up. And I really do think I want a 7. I'm due a 7 because I've got a 6 Plus at the moment, not a 6S. And there's a lot of me sitting there going, do you know what? Sorry, Apple, but you're going to have to impress me to get me to buy a 7. And you're going to have to do an awful lot with the camera. And I think they are going to do an awful lot with the camera, which will hit the point with me, or it'll resonate with me and will make me upgrade. But I don't think they're going to get, you know, the slightly more cynical people, you know, if they don't change the camera and they're just saying, okay, there's a secondary lens there that doesn't do anything particular, what gives you a macro capability, I'm like, don't care about a macro, won't be upgrading, mate, sorry. Mine's just fine.
The other thing now, and it sounds a little bit silly, but this is now a real thing in my family for me upgrading every year, is the trickle down. So I've got other people down the chain that are waiting for the old devices to go down. So they want me to buy one so that they can get their new device. So, and that's a real, you know, kind of pressure now.
Trickle down economics. There we go.
Yeah.
There's loads more news, but we haven't got, I'm lying, there's no more news. This podcast and others is brought to you by UK2. Please, please, please support them because they support us. They're absolutely brilliant. They've looked after us immensely over the years. We're in our 9th year of sponsorship with them, which is incredible. And they put up with all the crap that we throw them. They've got 3 terabytes of our data on there. You can go back to the Bagel Tech days and watch shows that are on our servers. We've now got a brand new server, which they gave us a couple of weeks ago, which flies. And we're just really well looked after. Thank you so much to UK2 for supporting us. Please, please, please support them. Be a UK2 customer and go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you can get all the offer codes. And if you just want to sign into your account, then please do us a favour and go through britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and sign into control panel and all those kind of things straight away. If you next time you're on Twitter, just take the time, thank you to a writer who did it this week, to say thanks very much UK2 for supporting British Tech, because we wouldn't be lost without them. You know, I'm going back to the days 9 years ago when you could end up with a bandwidth charge that would be a house payment, and UK2 said, no, it's all right, don't worry about it, we'll be fine, it's okay, keep it in. And they're happy with us, we're giving them business, which is nice. And also, please thank Hoya, because at Hoya UK are supporters of the British Tech Network. Mark was here a couple of weeks ago. He's organising glasses for Muller. These are the new top loaders, which look absolutely super gorgeous. There was a whole pile of them for Muller to choose from, and they looked absolutely brilliant. And you look at those and think, oh, you know, they're not particularly strong, but they are. They're really incredibly sturdy for what, you know, the lightness and delicateness of them as well. These are the Macs, if you like, of your Apple world, as far as spectacles go. You know, they're superb, they're high-end, they're good quality, they're not particularly cheap, but they're also not particularly expensive. But when you get them, you get an incredible viewing experience. And I am wearing a pair of Avantex now while we talk, and they are light and effortless on my face, and I've gone in the shower with them no end, and I've rubbed my face when I've forgotten I've got them on my face and knocked them off, because they're that light. They're absolutely brilliant. Titanium frames and wonderful, wonderful, very strong. This will pass a, you know, like a projectile test for a safety spectacle. It's that strong in the perspex. So please check them out. Go to Hoya, and Hoya look after us, so please look after them. Time for the cool things. Start us off, LJP.
Okay, so I've just put mine in the chat room. Mine is a tip, actually, this week, rather than something to buy, although it could be something to buy, depending on how much you're into gaming. But basically, I've been toying with the PlayStation 4 a lot. I've been playing PlayStation 4 for ages, but recently they've enabled remote play on Mac and PC. Obviously, I've been using it on my Mac. I've been doing it for a while on the PS Vita. When I travel with work, I quite often take the Vita with me, and I can play my PlayStation 4 remotely when I'm in hotels and stuff like that. It's really, really cool. But they've recently enabled it for Mac. So you just download an app from the PlayStation Store. You need to enable remote play on your PlayStation. And then you can literally just plug the PlayStation 4 controller into your Mac. I do it quite often if I'm downstairs here in the office on the big iMac. I can play Star Wars Battlefront online via this big screen while the TV's being used upstairs, because we've only got one TV in the house. But yeah, obviously you need a PlayStation 4. there's a lot of people that have got them probably that listen to the show. But it's just really cool. I mean, the latency is, my connection's only 1 up and 15 down, and I can play it fine. You occasionally run into a few problems here and there, but I'm quite impressed with that.
Excellent, mate. Really, really good. When you tweeted that out a few weeks ago, I was sitting there going, yeah, but does it really work? And it obviously does.
It works great for local games. If anything online, like Star Wars Battlefront is a big, you know, 40 player online. And you get a little bit of lag sometimes, but then my connection is slow. You know, I live in a rural area, and we haven't got a great connection. It's literally just 1 meg up and 15 down on a good day. Normally about 7 or 8, and I can play it.
Excellent. Very, very good. Well impressed. Good pick, mate. Adam, what do you have for us?
I am going to pick a Apple TV. Well, it's not just an Apple TV game, but it's an iPad, iOS, and you can AirPlay it. Or if you have an Apple TV 4th generation, you can get the new Apple TV app. It is Sketch Party TV. And they just came out with a brand new version. So this is like Pictionary for your Apple TV. And if you have an iPad Pro with an Apple Pencil, they just added iPad Pro support. So that's what I was particularly excited about when I saw this update come out. So you sit down, you call it up on your iPad, you connect it to the Apple TV app, and then what happens is on the iPad, you get a series of pictures to draw. So it might say rocket or cat or something like that. Your team starts drawing, and your partners try to guess while they watch, you know, what's being drawn on the Apple TV. And I think you go, the way it goes is you get up to 5 per round. You have 2 minutes to try and do 5 drawings, and then you score points, and then it goes to the other team, and same thing back and forth. You can pass on drawings if you can't get it, but then you have to circle back around within that 2 minutes, so you always get the same 5 in each round. And then I think it's the first team to 15 points or a certain number of rounds, and then it ends, and then you also get now bonus points if you complete the drawings quicker. So if you get them in a faster amount of time than your teammates, you get some bonus points. So at the end, scores everybody up, and I think you can play up to eight people on a team, so it supports up to 16 players.
Nice.
But just two teams.
All right, you can move on now. I've bought.
I have to check it out.
Lighter.
Yeah,
it's really fun to play with the family.
It looks awesome.
We're great, enjoying mate. It. And right now it's, I think, 40% off. So it's normally $9.99 US. It's normally $10 US. It's $5.99 right now because they just released this new version.
Yeah.
Bought.
Okay. Steve, what have you got for us, mate?
I have this little box here. It's from, I can never pronounce her name
Satachi.
Satachi. But anyway, this is their new aluminum mini docking station, which actually is pretty cool. If you take a look at the back here, we've got the DVI port, we've got HDMI, we have gigabit Ethernet, we've got... I think on the entire device, 4 super speed USB 3.0 ports, and it's just a nice little dock. I've been using this or testing it out on my iMac. It just kind of sits down below there. That's a darn nice little dock. Better than Doc Rock.
It's spelled Takeshi.
Doc says it's Doc.
Hitachi.
Hitachi.
Hitachi. Hitachi, huh? Okay.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you. Patrice, what do you have for us, mate?
My pick today is Fantastical 2, and there's a little story attached to that. We have an Exchange server at work, and I was using Outlook for almost a year now, simply because, we have the Office package, and the company uses it. And for some reason, I never tried Fantastical on that, or I haven't installed that on that machine, and I just thought about it, downloaded it, and it's actually awesome. It's way better than Outlook for creating meetings and all of that, because you can invite people, and then you can really see and get the next available meeting spot to. So you say tomorrow between 9 and 9:30, so you have a 30-minute meeting spot. And then you just click a button, and it tells you that next Wednesday is the next available spot in all calendars. So it's very awesome, and it's not cheap, but it is definitely and has always been the best calendar app on the Mac I know. It's I think $49 US or $39. For a lot of people, for a calendar, that is expensive. For me, because I use it all day and I use it for work, it's really cheap.
Okay.
They have great Apple Watch support. The yes. iOS apps are awesome, and I'll put in a vote for them. I've paid it, and I've happily paid it because I've used it to replace. It's my calendar and my dock on my Mac. It's my calendar. I've hidden Apple's default calendar and put it in my dock as my calendar on every one of my iOS devices.
I did the same.
The only thing that that they can't do is, obviously, there's no dynamic icons, is there, on iOS? So one thing I found was I needed to have a badge account that told me what the current date was, because I quite often like just looking at the home screen and just seeing what the date is. And the widget is really good, actually, as well. So, I use it on iOS.
I have that.
It works with reminders as well, which is good.
Yeah. It's really an awesome app. And as I said, as long as I've known it, it has always been awesome. And version 2 is even better.
As far as the pricing goes, this is a classic case where, these guys sell the app. They don't do it as a subscription.
Yeah.
They're charging the right price for the amount of work that goes into building this and making this really great. So, yes, you're paying more. If you don't need it, then you don't need to buy it. But for those people who really want a really great calendar and aren't happy with what Apple's delivering, you know, this is well worth the money, in my opinion.
And they're not releasing, or at least they haven't been releasing, a new version every year where we have to pay full price. The last one has existed for years and years and years with this one-time fee. So, yeah, they're really, really great.
Excellent. Good one. My cool thing is a piece of MacBook software, which was released yesterday, Gemini 2. I had the original Gemini application, and there's a whole pile of updates now to Gemini 2, and I had a review copy, and I had it embargoed, so I couldn't say anything, but I've been using it for about 10 days, and it's actually really, really good. The interface, I always loved the interface of Clean My Mac.
Yeah.
It's always been a super good way of the application talking to you, and Gemini 2 is very much like that now. Same clean kind of look, really good at spotting duplicates as well, and there's a whole pile of additions to it. Looks for photos, looks for music, anything you've got that's a shared duplication through Finder, and it lets you visually see whether, you know, what you want to do is keep one or the other. If it does find it, it's just superb, and it's been updated this week, as I say. So 50% off this week as well if you upgrade. So.
I absolutely love their apps, but I had the beta for a while now, and I figured out that for me it seems to be no use, simply because I ran it a couple of times and I had a few duplicates, but those were either iCloud backups or files I had duplicated for a reason. So.
Yeah, but they're still duplicate files, and I mean,
yeah, one of the things. That's fine. It's not about that app. I mean, the app is awesome.
And it's been a while too. Can't you? I think you can configure that.
Sure. Yeah.
To say don't look in these locations, like if you have if you have a backup. I'm seeming to remember that, but maybe I could be wrong.
Yeah, you can do that. Sure.
The thing I like is the fact that, you know, with photos particularly, you've got that visual reference, and because of the fact that I store a lot of photos, and also I've been round. The cameras that, you know, certainly the IMG cameras that I've got, I've been round the file numbering system 2-3 times.
Yes.
So, you know, I've got, my 6D has been round 3 times, I think, at the moment, and still going. So, you know, it finds a lot of those, but, you know, and I do find duplicates I don't want even so with that. So I think it's good. I mean, it's a small price for a great application.
Yeah, it's not definitely. Sure, so.
Well, if you don't get that, get Clean My Mac 3.
Oh, Clean My Mac 3 is an essential purchase.
That's essential.
There's no point in having a Mac if you haven't got Clean My Mac 3. You're just wasting the time.
So. Yep.
Where can we get a hold of you, Lee?
On Twitter, LJPUK. My blog is at ljpuk.com, and on BTN too.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at the MacCast at MacCast.com, MacCast on Twitter, and also on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Thanks, mate. Steve-O, where are you, sir?
I am at Apple World Today. That's appleworld.today. And I can also be found on Twitter at Stephen Sandy.
Excellent, mate. Not said in a scary way at all. with the echo in the background. Give my love to the 1970s, mate, and next time we have you on, we hope we'll get you all back into normal. Patrice, where are you, sir?
Apparently on the Mac show, on the Big Show in a couple of minutes, on the Mac show every week.
On your glorious connection, you're just pumping. On my
glorious connection, right. On Twitter at @casual_kitchen, and all the things I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get .rock at .rock pretty much everywhere anyway. He doesn't use his real name. And we'll be back again with the Mac Show in a few, with the Big Show in a few minutes. Mac Show next Thursday as normal. Come and watch us live. Come to the studio and have a great time. Come to the Bash. Bash 22nd, 23rd of July. Tickets on sale now at BritishTechNetwork.com/bash. Or donate to our Patreon fund. Or donate to the Mac Mini Fund. We've had our third. We got our $10, and we have our third Mac Mini now. So we've only got two more to go. Thank you to those people that have generously given us a donation. Please, please, please keep giving, because we need two more Mac Minis to complete the Skywall. And it's just a shame that one of the brand new Mac Minis has shafted Doc this evening. We'll have a test in a minute and see whether it's Doc or whether it's the computer.
It's
well, it's line two, you see, and it did it on line two on the old system as well as... So I think it's a Skype issue with line two. So I need to maybe just get a line six and just...
Rebuild that machine or something.
No, no, no. I think it's Skype on line two. I think I need to stop using line two and just have a line six that we use as a line two. See what
so you just rename it and everything will be fine.
Either that or it's the desk going with the channel. But we'll find out in a minute because Carrie Holtzman's on it on The Big Show. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. My God, that was a painful start.